when you're at a larger company, you have the time for someone to not do their best. But when you're at a small company, we have 7 engineers on my team. I don't have time for anyone to not be performing at their best. They have to be doing as well as they possibly could. And feedback is how I help them to grow and how I help them to make sure that they're doing their best work.
Hi, I'm Andreas. I'm the founder and CEO of Made With Love. We help startups and teams grow. Today, I'm talking for about 15 minutes with Leslie Carr, head of engineering at Pendo, about the employee lifetime value in Pulse, our monthly podcast. Grab a cup of coffee, sit back and enjoy. Today, I'm talking with Leslie from Indiana, United States. She currently lives in San Francisco. She worked at Google, Craigslist, Twitter, and ended up at Slack before she joined Pendo. Welcome to the podcast, Leslie.
Thanks. It's really great to be here.
Cool. Yeah, it's nice. So you worked at a lot of different companies, and I didn't even mention all of them. For example, Wikimedia was not in the list, and Clover Health. But that what was surprising to me is that you moved from Slack, which is a huge organization, obviously, to a very small team like Pendo with just 16 people as a head of engineering. Obviously, it must have been a big change. What was your motivation for jumping their ship?
Yeah, I felt like I was stagnating a little bit at Slack. And it was a really funny timing. I think it was on a Tuesday, I decided maybe I'll look around for other companies. And on that Thursday, I get a message on LinkedIn from Barbara, the founder of Pendo. I had actually worked with her husband previously on an open source project. And so that's why, you know, usually when you get those LinkedIn messages, you just delete them. But that's why I was like, well, I'll talk to this person. Why not? Why not just, you know, see what's going on? Even though at the time, I think Pendo was 5 people. And in my head, I decided, no, it's way too small. But as soon as Barb showed me the product, I was just wowed. So as a manager and a leader, I think one of the most important things that I can do is giving good feedback to my reports. It's one of my most important job duties. Mm-hmm. And I think that feedbacks and reviews and all of that are something that a lot of companies do really poorly. It's hard and there's no real training for it. I've been trying to convince all of my reports, all my managers, that it's very important to give really specific feedback and give feedback that's really related to the job ladder, but it's not really enforced. As soon as Barbara showed me Pendo, I was like, this is how I think we need to be giving feedback and we need to be doing reviews. Pendo really focuses everything on the job ladder. And, you know, I come from an infrastructure background as an engineer. And so in infrastructure, I think it's really important that you use tooling to get people to do the right thing. For example, you want people to, you know, do all of your automated testing on your deployment pipeline. Well, you better make that deployment system really easy to use, or else people are just going to push code and bypass all those tests. So I think it's the same thing. You know, people are just really, really complicated systems, right? So you need to have a well-designed tool, you know, that focuses on feedback and reviews to get all of your managers to do the right thing in giving good feedback to their reports.
Makes sense. And how, I mean, how frequent do you believe, or does Pendo enforce like a frequency in the feedback, or is that something that you can decide yourself, or how do you see it?
We don't enforce a frequency. I personally sort of enforce, I do feedback Fridays. So I always find some fun GIF, post it up on the general channel and encourage folks, you know, just take 15 minutes and just write someone a feedback. It can be your peer, it can be your report, it can be your manager, just something. I think having that time set aside makes it into a habit, right? And then once you have the habit, it's a lot easier to keep going.
Yeah. And I mean, there is, of course, a difference. We at least make a difference between like really planned feedback and just like feedback you're mentioning, like a shout out. We always say like, if there is any feedback, you have to give it instantly. I think that's very important. But also we have this kind of very formal feedback loop as well, where we, in our team, I think every 6 months, we have like, we call a semester review, where we basically have like really a questionnaire people have to fill out and we go over it together. Do you combine those two as well? Or is Pendo like a kind of hybrid system in between those?
Oh, Both of those are separate, but I sort of think of it as that instantaneous feedback at, you know, less formal, more often feedback feeds into your larger 6-month reviews, right? I think it's especially important to have that feedback because, you know, as humans, we tend to forget things that happened. So I'm not going to remember what happened 6 months ago as well as I remember what happened last month. Mm-hmm. If I have that feedback and all that information from 6 months ago, I'm able to incorporate it better. And then you can sort of see more trends and you can see growth and you can give someone just more comprehensive formal feedback.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I mean, you're preaching to the choir here in terms of giving feedback, but in a lot of the clients that we are working with, and especially the ones that we audit in our due diligence process, they often say they're too small to have like a good feedback. I mean, at Panda, you're also pretty small. I mean, 16 people, mm-hmm. you're doing it properly as well. Like, what's your answer to those kind of claims from people when they say too small to do proper reviews, for example?
Well, I have to wonder about that. So one of my first major company jobs was at Google, and Google is pretty infamous for having an incredibly horrible, painful feedback season called PERF. It basically is this whole 3-month thing that happens twice a year. And if you come from Google and you think of that as how you give feedback, yeah, you don't have time for that, right? You can't be taking 6 out of your 12 months every year or else your startup's going to fail. But that doesn't mean that people don't need feedback and doesn't mean that feedback isn't important. You need to find out how to do lighter weight, easier, more like a small constant check-ins that can lead to some larger, you know, annual feedbacks or semi-annual feedbacks. And so also when you're at a larger company, you have the time for someone to not do their best. But when you're at a small company, we have 7 engineers, for example, on my team. I don't have time for anyone to not be performing at their best. They have to be doing as well as they possibly could. And feedback is how I help them to grow and how I help them to make sure that they're doing their best work.
Yeah, sure. I think in most of the cases that we see it is because managers are too busy themselves to basically make the time to give proper feedback. And they're kind of ignorant of the issues that they have in the team. And they think if I don't give the feedback, the team is just functioning okay-ish. That's how I see it most of the time. And it's very frustrating also to see that people don't realize that giving proper feedback really helps the team to grow. Maybe it's more a European thing, but we give a lot of negative feedback. There is this saying that you need for each point of negative feedback, you need 20 positive points of feedback. So that's kind of the ratio that it should be. I don't know if that's maybe exaggerated.
Yeah, but I think you brought up a really good point about positive feedback as well. Even if, let's say your team is doing amazingly, right? Everyone is just doing so good. You're amazed. When people join small startups, they really want to see their impact, right? You join a small startup because you want to see that you're doing a good job and that you're helping everything go. And giving that positive feedback is a way for someone to feel recognized. You want all of your employees to realize I am doing a great job when they're doing a great job. I find a lot of good engineers actually don't realize how good of a job they're doing. And you know, even if you are saying you're doing everything perfectly, tell them that. Also, because if you don't, they aren't going to feel as appreciated. They aren't going to be as motivated. And then they might go to another startup. You know, when you have something like 7 engineers, every engineer has so much knowledge about the product. I don't want to lose a single one.
Yeah, of course. That's something that you, as Panda, I guess, or at least Barbara, put into a very nice term, which you call employee lifetime value. I think that's very interesting. It's something that we mentioned to all investors that we're working with, like if you can shorten the onboarding time of an employee and have as much as productive time as possible of an employee in the team and also reduce the kind of slacking time that they have when they're about to quit, of course, the actual value you get from the employee increases a lot. And how does your tool help with that? I mean, does it help with that? I don't know.
Definitely. So yeah, as engineers, a lot of times we think about the engineering onboarding, like how long does it take till somebody really knows your code base. But you could also think about like the employee lifetime value as just how long until someone is their maximum productive self. Like giving that regular feedback sort of can help increase someone's productivity and increase their performance level. And so if you think of it sort of as a chart, right? Like you know, with the y-axis being units of work and x-axis being time. Well, anytime you can, you know, increase the angle, and so you're going up on the y-axis more quickly, that increases all of that area, aka you're getting more work done. You want people to be always growing and always being more productive. Even someone's a junior engineer, growth might mean you know Python better and you know all of these things. But as a senior engineer, growth might be you're designing the right level of redundancy in your data pipelines, for example, because, you know, you may have got a great engineer who came from a very large company like Google again. They might be used to designing pipelines for, you know, terabits and terabits of data per second. And you're in a tiny startup, you have megabits per second. So maybe for them, growth is learning how to code a little less stringently and in order to get things out the door quicker.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's always growth you can do, and growth may be just really more specific to your application.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's being pragmatic. I think it's a lot of people struggle with that as well. To basically the task at hand, we work for a very early stage startup, but also like in scale-ups. And our engineers really have to, with every project, we have to tell them, okay, this is the setting that you're working in. Here you can do it quick and dirty. Here you have to do it perfectly. I think that makes a little sense. And I think one of the things that is very cool about what you guys are doing is that you also made this kind of rubric of all the different roles that there are with their, I don't know how you call them. Let me think about it.
Competencies.
Yeah, competencies, exactly. If I would start doing feedback like how you imagine it, and actually in MetaDlove we have made a system similar to that called Skills Map. Don't really give feedback on it, but we map out the skill set of all our team members, and we really went on creating that rubric for ourselves, and we figured out how massive of a challenge it was. And we only have two roles in our team, which is a CTO in residence and a software engineer. But obviously, if you have more roles, it's a huge task to undertake, and I think that really helps that you made those. And can you maybe explain a bit more, like how did you get there? Was it through research, or did you just try to figure out yourself, or how do you know that?
Yeah, there was in the very beginning, there was a lot of research. A lot of companies have their job ladders online and public. And so you can take all of those and sort of, you know, synthesize what's common amongst all of those well-written job ladders. And we actually have since hired a woman who has a PhD in basically in developing rubrics and competencies in large organizations. And so this is what she's been studying for so many years. And so she's great. She does a lot of interviewing as well as looking at research. Turns out a lot of business schools have a lot of research on job ladders. Like, I never knew.
Yeah, and then
obviously feedback from internally as well as our customers. So it's sort of, you know, like just as with a code base, job ladders are never done. You're just always, you get them 80% of the way there, and then you're just constantly tweaking and tweaking and tweaking.
Yeah, makes sense. So let's say you're a very small startup and you don't do any feedback at the moment. Like, what would be your advice for them to get started with some kind of feedback loop? Like, what would be the first thing you would want them to implement?
Start out with Feedback Fridays. I find a cool GIF online. I post it on our Slack channel. And I just say, sit down, take 15 minutes and write a feedback to someone. It doesn't have to be good.
And it's like you do that in person, like you send it in person, or you send it in the general channel, the feedback itself?
Well, send it one-to-one. While positive feedback, definitely you can share more broadly. Even some people get a little embarrassed by even positive feedback being shared broadly. And more constructive feedback, I feel like you should share a little more targeted, just because you don't want anyone to be taking it the wrong way.
Sure.
So yeah, so just say, hey, look, just Slack someone that, right? Like, you don't need any tools for that. Yeah. If you want to make it a little more formal and you don't want to spend any money on a tool, like, use Google Forms, right? That's free.
We actually, back in the days, we wrote a tool for peer feedback as well, but we sunsetted it, and then we wrote a Slack app. You could ask someone feedback, and then they would get the form pop up, and they would reply with the feedback in Slack. So you can do it with Slack automation, I think.
Yeah, just do that. You can just do something really low cost, really, really quick and casual, because you just have to practice, right? Giving feedback is a skill. It's going to feel really awkward at first. So just keep practicing that skill until it becomes second.
That's a very sensitive thing that you say there as well, that feedback, giving feedback is a skill. I think that's a lot of people, I don't think, realize that it actually is. They think it's something that people just do, but it's not the case.
Definitely.
Cool. That's it for today. Thanks a lot, Leslie, for your view on giving feedback. I think it's a very, very interesting topic. I think I can talk for hours about it, and I feel you can do the same. But I think it's very cool also to see companies innovate on how to give feedback, because as we just discussed, it's something that you still have to learn. Lots of people do it very poorly. So any tool that they can use can improve how they give feedback. That of course helps. And I think you guys are really contributing to that as well with Pando. So thanks for doing that. Thanks for being on Pearls. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you. This was great.
Awesome. So, and that's a wrap. Thanks for listening as well. See you next week or month. We'll see how much episodes we make. And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn or via our website. And you can always reach out to us if you have any questions. For example, on giving feedback, we are there to help out. See you next time. That's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening and following us. Listen to other episodes on our website, mavewithlove.com/pearls, or on your favorite streaming service. You can, of course, also follow us on LinkedIn or Twitter. See you next time.